It's time for Cover 2 with Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
So the fact that you said that my point is valid means I win?
No, you're a foolish idiot.
And now, here's Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Cover 2 podcast. Joe Bianchino, Pierce Bricks, hanging out with you on 104.5theteam.com. Bricks, Pablo Sandoval. Discuss. I mean, what else can you say?
You know,
World Series game one last night. Kung Fu Panda goes off.
Pablo is... it's funny because he did one of those great stat breakers. Because you had the three people who had three home run games in the World Series, and it was Babe Ruth, Mr. October, Albert Pujols. And you're like, that's amazing. And now, you know, in 10 years, whenever somebody
Babe
does
Ruth,
it again.
Reggie Jackson, Albert Pujols, and
the Kung Fu Panda. You're like, damn. That's
right. The Babe, Mr. October, the Machine, Kung Fu Panda.
Exactly.
One of those things just.
One of those nicknames.
Yeah. If that's an SAT question, everyone goes, oh, that's the one that's not like the other.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those, wow, he joins elite. He's the guy who joins a group that then kind of ruins the group. You know? The guy's the Lance Bass of this group. He doesn't need to be there.
Hang on now. You're not about to hate on my boy Lance Bass, right?
Listen, I wanted to send him space. I thought it was an emotional story.
You've put me into a terrible position having to call Lance Bass my boy on,
yeah,
on something that'll be on the internet.
Listen,
for a
I did not put you in that position. You went out of your way.
You did. You came onto a radio program and you called out Lance Bass, who I think we can all say was the second best member of NSYNC.
Behind Justin Timberlake.
The matter is,
I was reaching for Chris Kirkpatrick, I think is the guy's name. He's the odd man out in that, but. Moving right along, listen, if I could do anything in this world, I would go back in time and put money on Zito over Verlander. I wouldn't have to come in and do this program with you today because I would just be
basking.
I'd be at the strip club with Pac-Man Jones making it rain.
I'm going to gloss over the Pac-Man Jones strip thing and go right to Justin Verlander is 0-3 in the World Series.
Yeah, it wasn't. The first year it was his rookie season.
I mean, I understand that. That's one of those stats, much like you don't expect Kung Fu Panda. You don't expect the best pitcher in the game right now to be 0-3 in the World Series. And look, he got beat up last night.
He was ugly.
He got beat up last night. Everybody was saying, well, maybe if you're the Giants, try and hang on and come back at the end of this game if you're going to win it. But everyone was pretty much like, look, Verlander's going to go pitch lights out, and the Giants are going to have to try and get a couple... on the road at Detroit. I mean, that was everyone's thought going in. And then Zito pitches out of his mind. Sandoval goes off. And suddenly, I think we're looking at a totally different series than what everyone envisioned.
Listen, I think you have to wonder with Justin Verlander if he has a little bit of the LeBron-ness. He made it to the World Series very young, so there's no pressure on him as a postseason pitcher leading up to the World Series, like LeBron obviously broke through the ice this season. But if you look back to last year, LeBron, you know, he mowed through the Chicago Bulls. He's always been fine in the postseason because he made it young and got swept out by the Spurs. So you kind of wonder, maybe is the stage too big for Justin Verlander? Is he in his melon about the fact that he's now 0-3 in the World Series and everybody knows that?
See, I don't know. I don't think so. But you got to think the Tigers maybe think so. I mean, Justin Verlander is getting visited from the mound
in like the third inning.
Yeah. And he's not happy about it. The look on his face is like, dude, what are you doing coming out to me right now? Yeah, I got it. I got the guy 2-0, but really, you're coming out to me right now?
And listen, but he should. I mean, the guy, when you have, and it is ridiculous because you watch him, and even when he's getting up, you're like, when he's getting roughed up. You're like, geez, that's a nasty pitch.
Yeah, he's like, man, look, the first home run ball was 95 at the letters. Like, that's not a pitch anyone hits out in the MLB. I mean, I don't want to call Pablo Sandoval lucky to hit three home runs in the World Series. Clearly not. But I mean, one of them was a fastball on the outside of the plate that he just gets over the wall. The first one's a 95 mile an hour at the chest.
That he just gets over the wall. I mean, the guy hit three home runs by a total of like five rows.
Right, right.
You couldn't squeak three home runs over the fence.
I mean, that first one, especially the first one, you can't look at Verlander and go, oh, Justin, what are you making that pitch? Like, that's where Justin Verlander eats. He's going to throw 95, and he's going to throw it at the top of the strike zone, and ain't nobody catching up with it. Sandoval happened to catch up with it. I mean, what do you say? You kind of tip your hat to the guy and say, hey, well done.
Right, but then when it happens a second time.
I mean, you're right.
Listen, when Barry Zito is getting RBI base knocks off
right, there you go.
It's not your day.
There's a fair point.
It is not your day.
So what do you think this does for the whole? I mean, I'm looking at this. Everyone thought, well, Verlander's going to pitch three times in this series probably, and how? So that, I mean, that's three wins. Well, now it's not.
Okay, but here's two things. Verlander, I think, is a guy that's better on 3 days rest than he is on a week's worth of rest. And that's what he got because he took care of business so efficiently against your Yankees. I think he's probably going to be better there. I know that he threw a lot of pitches, but he didn't throw a lot of innings. And, what was he, 90-some pitches he ended up with? 90-some pitches to Justin Verlander is
not
50-some pitches right to everybody else. So I think you're going to look at a guy who's going to be more fresh down the stretch than
right,
he would have been had he gone
saying,
8 or 9 innings.
But I guess the overall point, I'm not saying Verlander can't come back and throw well in the rest of the series. I'm just saying if you're a San Francisco Giant and a Giant fan, you were coming into this game saying, all right, we got to survive Verlander and we got to pick up wins in all the other games because, I mean, Verlander's going to dominate. Verlander didn't dominate. You got a chance. You got a win against Justin Verlander. You're ahead of the game. I mean, you're playing with house money. For a lot of this series now, I mean,
right. But here was
I think it just changes the dynamic of the series.
Absolutely,
wholly and totally.
It absolutely changes the dynamic when you look at a Barry Zito going up against Justin Verlander. Everybody in their right mind had penciled in a W for the Detroit Tigers. I'm saying it could be a blessing in disguise if they can get another. If they can steal a W in San Francisco,
they have to win tonight.
Good work, Bud Selig, by the way, in having the NL win the All-Star game. Such a ridiculous rule. I don't think they even have to win tonight. They have to win one of the next two. And then you're looking at a fresher Verlander. I think it could be a blessing in disguise, the fact that he was out so quickly, because you're at
out
the end
so
of the year.
Out so quickly, yes, I understand. But losing a World Series game is never a blessing in disguise.
That's the disguise.
okay. It's a hell of a disguise. Right.
The blessing part is fresh Verlander. The disguise part is you lost game one in convincing fashion.
That is the best disguise ever.
It's pretty good.
That's like Tom Cruise. Was Mission Impossible wearing another dude's face?
Yeah, it was certainly. It's like Face Off, Nick Cage.
That's right.
You want his face off.
Underrated film.
No, it's appropriate.
Can a movie be underrated and overrated at the same time? Face Off. I give you John Travolta, everybody. But this is going to be an interesting series to see how it plays out from here. What's interesting to me, what stands out to me is the Giants are like the Cardinals last year. Just one of those teams you can't kill. You just can't kill the Giants. They're going to come back, right? They did it against, they did it in the DS. They did it in the CS. What are they going to do with a lead?
That's actually an interesting question.
What do they do with a lead?
You know, that's kind of your New York Giants mentality.
Do they run away with it or do
backs
they just fall
against
apart?
The wall, you know they're going to win. But sitting on something with some expectations, and you know, to be honest, you say it, I think, a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. It's a different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you have coming into this series, it was Giants, house money, Verlander game one, they're going to be in a hole, they're going to have to dig themselves out.
Yep.
Now it's, all of a sudden, you know, Giants beat Verlander, Giants have the edge, Giants have Matt Cain, advantage Giants. And
right.
How do you pitch with that?
Now I think that would be a problem for teams that maybe haven't been here. Like if the Orioles were here right now, maybe you look at that and go, I don't know how a young team, never been here before. It's a team that won the World Series a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've been there. So this is going to be very interesting. But as I was watching this game breaks, it made me think of something else. And it's giving me flashbacks to the Yankees. A little post-traumatic.
From a week ago?
Yeah, I'm trying to forget it, all right? I'm putting it behind me. But every now and then it just pops up, and it hurts me a little bit. The Tigers had offensive struggles and every now and then. It really wasn't. I mean, the final score was 8-3?
Yes, the final was 8-3.
Yeah, the game wasn't really that close. But it's just, I mean, Zito, like we said, pitching well. And I'm thinking about it. Is there any sport that is more frustrating to watch when your team is losing than baseball?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, it's tough watching your team just get mowed down slowly, or to watch your pitchers just get rocked. I think a demoralizing football loss when you go in, because A, you've just waited all week for it. So the anticipation is great.
That I understand.
And you come in and all of a sudden you're down 28-3 at halftime. And it's not even one of those 28-3s where you move the ball and had turnovers. It's we ain't moving the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eli threw five picks. They're just not, you're not coming back. You just have to sit there because you have a whole, you're not like, all right, this is a bummer. I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah.
We'll come back tomorrow. You have to then, not only do you wait for it, for a week,
you have to sit on it.
You have to sit on it.
See, all right, I understand that. But like football, I mean, you can see those kind of things coming. Like you can see the scoring drives, they develop, and you're just kind of like, ugh. But like for me, watching the Yankees in the ALCS was brutal. Because I don't think there's anything more frustrating than watching your team just get mowed, just come up to the plate with no idea. Just three pitches. All right, go back in the dugout. Next guy. Three. All right, go back to the dugout. First pitch, pop up because you're an idiot. All right, go back to the dugout.
Right.
And change sides.
You know, and I think there's also a perspective issue. Like, for instance, I wouldn't even bring up the NBA because I don't. You have to have an expectation of winning to make the loss hurt that bad. So,
I guess you could say that.
With the Knicks, it's been 15 to 20 years since there was a legitimate expectation of winning.
Mm-hmm.
With the Mets, it's been a while. So I think the freshest feeling for me is the freshest feeling of, you know,
of the Giants
should go. Because the worst part about winning is we should win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're damn right, we can win this game. And then you go and you lose it. If it's, we're not as good as a team of them, it doesn't really, you know, you're already mentally prepped for the L. So, you know, I think that plays into the fact. It is a slower death in baseball.
It's a frustrating death because like watching a drive develop in football. Like if you're watching Drew Brees surgically take your team apart, it happens like incrementally. You can watch it happen. In baseball, when your offense is struggling, you're just like you're always waiting. You're like, all right, man, if we can just string together some base hits and oh, strikeout. Okay.
And there's also
what are you guys doing at the Robinson Cano? What are you doing at the plate right now?
There's also the individual hate that you can target. Like if you had a guy, you go out and, you know, R.A. Dickey goes 7 innings, 1 earned, you're up 4-1, and in the 9th inning you bring in Bobby Parnell or insert name here, and the guy's just imploding, and you're sitting here like, we played so well. All you have to do, you know, the offense played well, the starting pitcher played well. It's just that dude. When it's one guy two guys that are just on the mound losing what your team has, taking all the good vibes. Because again, if you have a great starting pitcher that's rolling and you have an offense to put up 4 or 5 runs, which is legitimate in a baseball game, you have the great vibes. And then one guy can come in and just punch you in the gut.
That was the horrible predicament Yankee fans starting pitching rolling, nobody can hit the damn ball. 6th inning, somebody, you know, the other team scratches across the inning. All right, game's over. Yankees suck. But it's not about the Yankees, it's about the Giants and the Tigers. Game 2 prediction. Give me one, Bricks.
What do we got? Fister versus the Constant Bumgarner.
Yes,
I'm gonna I like Doug Fister a lot. I think that the Tigers have a better offense than the Giants. I don't see the Giants exploding for another 8 runs. The Tigers have to have it. The Tigers will get it.
All right. We'll come back and we'll take a look. We'll get into the NFL on the other side, Giants and Jets. It's Cover 2.